Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with Sister Amen. Sister Amen, you just said we got a lot to talk through tonight.
Holding me to my word.
I am.
Hi, everybody.
Hope you're all doing well. It's time for our edification audio. We just got off a gathering call with the brothers and sisters, and we had a busy day today, so we got some things to share. We hope you're all doing well. Mm-hmm. We like to come and edify and glorify God, bring you some things to think about. Some things that will teach, some things that will convict, some things that will guide.
Edify, amen. Maybe rebuke.
All of the above.
Sometimes.
All of the above.
All of it.
We had a good day. We traveled. We left the town where the brothers are. Two brothers are living, and we went out not too far away, but it was a day's drive. And we stopped at a Dent & Bett food store, and two witnessing situations took place right there.
Yeah,
want to go first, Sister Amen?
Yeah, remember on the way there, you said, should we stop there? And we kind of discussed it because we weren't really sure.
Yeah, it's not the greatest one. Not the greatest store.
And then we decided, yeah, let's just go because we're going by there. So we go in there and I find a few things and I'm checking out. And there's a young woman checking out my stuff for me. And I give her a gospel card. She wanted to give it back to me. She was nice. She said, oh, I'll just give this back to you. I'm a Christian. And that started...
We hear that a lot.
I don't know, how long was I in there? I don't know, five or 10 minutes.
Maybe.
20 minutes, was it that long?
Probably.
Boy, the time flew. And the conversation wasn't too bad. She was kind of pushing back for a while, but in a nice way, you know, kind of like some people do, and it might be like a question, you know, so we'll go quite a ways with that, as long as somebody's got a decent demeanor about them. And anyway, about the last third of it, maybe last quarter of it, I could tell she really was starting to push back on things. I guess I won't go into all the details, but I will say that at one point I told her that her religious body is, I can clearly see by the evidence of it, they're not teaching the truth. After we just went through some of the doctrines, she said they actually don't practice Christmas and Easter.
Oh, wow.
But then she kind of switched the subject. She never did let me get through the whole gospel because she kept dodging a little bit. But anyway,
a lot of people lie when they say don't practice Christmas.
I know. I wanted to dig a little deeper in there, but yeah. I was in the middle of it.
They mean they don't use Santa Claus, but they still do Christmas.
Yeah, that's usually what it means. And I didn't go back there because I think I was on another point. But she wasn't dressed biblically or head covered, and you could tell she was a very worldly young woman. And I just happened to bring that up there because I'd already talked. I tried getting through the whole gospel with her. I did ask her if she's born again, and she said yes. And I brought that up to her. And she immediately said, oh, I know what's in there, but I'm not convicted about it. And I said, we don't run by convictions. We can't please God in the flesh. We have to run by what the word says.
Yeah.
And I transformed on the inside and went through the whole thing with her.
Because your convictions can be wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she got upset and told me, she said, so how long have you been driving around attacking people? And so I pretty much ended it there and gave her a rebuke, a loving one. I said, you know, we care for you. You need to repent or you're going to perish. And I wanted to read... talking about conviction, John 8:9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even into the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. That's the woman that was caught in adultery.
Yep.
And convicted means convince, rebuke, reprove, find fault with, shame. Go look it up. There's a whole bunch in there, but it kind of gives you all those.
Yep.
So this woman said, she's not convicted about what she saw the scriptures tell her to do, just in those two areas, who knows what else. So she found no shame or fault living in her sins, not doing what the Bible tells her to. And I was thinking about this also. I guess I didn't know if you wanted to say anything about that, because we hear that a lot.
Well, yeah, people say the Spirit hasn't convicted me about that yet. And we sit there and go, would the Holy Spirit ever leave you in any sin?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're just not following the conviction that God clearly already gave us in the Word, the instructions, the doctrine. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you. You're probably grieving Him, quenching Him, ignoring it. It isn't Him that's falling down on the job. It's you or I.
Right. And I told her, I said, you love your sin. That's why you're not convicted about it.
Yeah.
And then I was also thinking about something. She was very young, and I'm not very young anymore. I'm older. And I was thinking about how we come across some of these people who push back. They don't even have respect for somebody who's a little bit older.
Right.
I mean, I can understand if you're a false teacher, but she clearly agreed and said she saw what was in the scriptures. And I was thinking about Leviticus 19:32, and it says, they shall rise up before the hoary head, which is the gray hair, and honor the face of the old man, and it also says woman in there, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. And so we see a respect for the older people, even if even if I'm witnessing to somebody older than me, I try to be kind.
Right.
I try to be gentle. I call her ma'am. I'm going to call her out of her sin, but I'm going to give that little bit of an age respect thing.
Right. I teach the young brothers, because they're all under 30 or just over 30. I teach them when they're dealing with an older man, especially, it's good. They all do this really well. To call them sir.
Yeah.
Not, hey, dude. Hey, buddy. They call them sir. It's a respect for someone older than you. Even if they're a false teacher, you can treat them with respect for age and then correct their doctrine and give them a rebuke they need.
Right.
But there still can be a respect for the age.
Right.
That's what God calls us to.
Yeah, we're supposed to. Because technically, I mean, if you look in the back in the Israelites, the older ones were supposed to be following the ways of God and have
right.
their,
you're you supposed
know,
to have wisdom.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We don't see that today, but we still try to do that and,
yeah.
and honor that.
Well, you got a lot of truth in her, and maybe she'll be convicted by it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
She kept the gospel card, so.
Yeah. Well, some people need, many people need a rebuke, and a rebuke is just a correction from the direction they're in to a direction they need to go for Christ.
Oh,
it's loving
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm sitting in a van. I was waiting for Sister Amin. I was in the store with her, then I came out. So I'm sitting in the van, and I'm on the phone video call with two brothers, and this man comes walking by, and he walked right by our van and was looking at our signs, and I said, sir, can I give you the gospel? And he said, I already got it. And I said, come here. So he came over. My two brothers listened in, one from Canada and one from South America or South Africa are listening online. And this man turned out to be a Baptist man, and he laughed about knowing what were Jesus' first ministry words, repent or you'll perish. He didn't know the biblical gospel. He told me he didn't want to take my time away from my brothers. I said, my brothers don't care. I said, here, say hi. They said hi to him. I said, they love to hear the gospel going out. And he basically told me when I laid out for him the gospel and how we have to follow Christ and follow doctrine. He said he was a Baptist, and I warned him that the Baptist is a man-made religion. He said, I chew my tobacco too thin.
Meaning you do.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
He said, I chew my tobacco too thin, meaning I pay too much attention to doctrine. And then he laughed and he walked away. What do you think of that, Sister Amin?
Several things. First of all, if you're a born-again saint, you're not going to be chewing tobacco. So that's
yeah, it's kind of silly.
And, yeah, that's just their way of deflecting it off on somebody else.
Yeah, his gospel was believe in Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, he laughed and laughed. You know who else yeah. does that? There's a group of people that laugh a lot, and sometimes it's like he did, like boisterous laugh, like
Anabaptists.
Yeah, you yeah. know, yeah.
yeah.
We've seen that often. They just, like, break out in
they're not
in this
serious about the things
laugh.
Of God.
Yeah.
yeah.
I think it's funny. It's
anyone
sad.
Who's not, anyone who's born of God is serious about the gospel. Anyone who's not and is born of man-made religion, the gospel isn't all that important to him. In fact, he told me he had to go because he had business to do. So I said, you can email me anytime. I doubt I'll be getting an email from him.
Yeah,
so not serious about the gospel at all.
Yeah, and you warned him about not following after mammon, which he
yeah.
was doing and he agreed on, but yeah.
I always think of this verse when I think of people like that. 1 Corinthians 1:18-19. For the preaching of the cross to them that are perishing is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So the people that don't want to talk about the gospel, they think they got it going on, and God says, I'll destroy that lofty ways of man and break them down.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people focus on the first part of that scripture, that it's foolishness to them, but it's the power of God through
yep.
the gospel that makes them
Amen.
Unwise, and then they start scrambling around like he did, coming yep. up with platitudes that have nothing to do with what's going on.
Amen. Anything else today?
Foolish.
What else you got today, Sister Amin?
Sister and I were talking, she was sharing about how much she was witnessing and giving out the gospel and stuff, and then we were talking about love and knowing the true brothers and sisters by love. And I was going to read John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so I was telling her that I was an angry woman before I was born again. By that, in that time of my life, I hated this life. I hated people. I hated myself. I hated everything. It was all hopeless. And I'd go through this world and I wouldn't even talk to people unless I had to. But when I was born again, the Holy Spirit gave me the love of God in me. And because I love people, I didn't want them going to hell like I was on my way before I was born again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share it with them. And I know that was you too. And I asked her, I said, was that you as well? And she said, yes. And I don't know, I guess I just think about it. When you get the power of the gospel given to you and you're transformed and you now see light outside of the darkness, how can you not want to share that? I mean, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, it's going to lead you to do that.
Love God, love your neighbor. Two great commands.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to read this. This is the opposite. This is for people who don't have it. 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. There's a whole bunch of them in there about not having love. Those are like great commands. And I guess it kind of, it baffles me how if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can't love. To a degree, at least in the beginning, then it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah. That goes right along with what I talked about with the young brothers today. We were talking about, in the Bible, it talks about greet each other with a holy kiss. The kiss was like the custom in that area where men would like kiss each other on the cheek or something. That was like a customary thing. That wouldn't go very good in our culture today with all of the strange things we have going on. But I believe it was more descriptive than prescriptive. The main spirit of it is, just like with foot washing, we don't wash each other's feet today because none of us have dirty feet. We serve each other. And so the spirit of that holy kiss is have a greeting with your brother and sister. So I was telling the young brothers that, and for me, the greeting is a hug. I give all my brothers a hug when I see them, when I'm leaving them, or when we first meet. And so I was telling them it's a great practice because it glorifies God. It shows the world that we love each other and that it endears us to each other. And it's also kind of a flesh killer because one of the young brothers said, yeah, it's weird. He goes, it was weird to me. He goes, I didn't grow up like this, but he goes, I see the importance of it. And it teaches you how to have care and physical, not so much physical, but it's a physical expression of the godly love you have for somebody, like taking care of them, like helping them with their car, like doing all good things for them. A physical greeting is a real sign of care and affection for somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people hug their wives when they leave. People hug their children. Well, why wouldn't you hug your brother or sister? Just makes sense.
Right.
And so that goes along with that loving part. So I was encouraging them to do that because I think it creates a good bond of the brothers and it's glorifying to God.
A holy hug.
Yep, a holy hug. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah,
that's what's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it does break down the flesh.
Too. It does. Yeah, it is, especially in our culture. You know, men aren't used to being affectionate towards each other, but we read in the Bible that they were very affectionate towards each other. You know, John had his laying his head on Jesus' chest, and they had the holy kiss. They would kiss each other on the cheek, and so there is a the Bible's pretty descriptive about that, and I think it's important that we don't lose that. It doesn't have to be the holy kiss, but I think it should be a greeting of affection towards your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, if they had that much back then, it says the love of many will wax cold. It's no wonder in today's society it's kind of a, could be considered a strange thing, but we don't want to go along with the culture.
And I think it's like a head covering. A head covering is a physical thing to remind you of other things. Yep. A tunic is a physical thing to remind you of other things. A holy hug is a physical thing to remind you how much you love your brothers.
I was thinking that,
Yeah.
Well, I have no problem hugging my holy sisters.
Yeah, and it should never be a ritual thing. Every time you do it, it should be meaningful. It should be meant in your heart. If you don't mean it in your heart, don't do it.
Right, because
then you'd be a hypocrite.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, I rarely ever see a sister out in the world. All I see is worldly carnal people that we're trying to reach with the gospel, and they could have it too. But to see a true blue sister, or for you to see a brother, it's like, you know, it's rare.
Right.
It should never be, like, taken for granted.
Yeah, and we're family, so it shouldn't be strange for us to hug each other. We're family.
Right.
We're going to be together for eternity, so.
Yeah, if we endure.
Yeah. We also were on the phone today when we had our gathering, we were talking about budgets.
And I love budgets.
Yeah, we're teaching the young men about, all the young believers about knowing where all your money goes so that you can be a good steward of what God's given you, your time, your relationships, your material things, your money. And so we were teaching about budgets, so that was a good one. Luke 16:10-12. I love this. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in also in much. Mm-hmm. You're faithful with $10, you might be faithful with $100 or $1,000, right? And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. you'll steal a dollar, you might steal $100. Therefore, if ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, the things of the world, money, who will commit to your true riches? Who will commit to your trust true riches? God gives you money. If you don't handle your money right, God's going to give you eternal souls to look after?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Nothing compared to that.
And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. So, good thing to think about. Are you a good steward in all things? Relationships, time, money, your reputation, and even your material things. Everything before God is His. And I was telling the brothers, things are easy to give away when you realize they're not yours. When you think, it's mine, it's really hard to give it away to somebody without feeling a great loss. But when you go, hey, this is all the Lord's. Here, you want some of it?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to give away.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts on that, on budget, Sister Armin?
Yeah, for us sisters being the keepers at home, Titus 2, that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
And that would be, it is a great responsibility, especially for those of you who have husbands, whether they're believers or not. Maybe you have a job too, but the husband is normally the provider of the home.
He's out working hard for his money.
Yeah, yeah, and even if you are as well, however the circumstances are, you need to be frugal in it, you need to be faithful in it, and say you're staying at home and you have several children or whatever it is, and you're out wasting his money.
Yeah.
He's got to work harder to try to make up the money if he's trying to save up to maybe pay off debts or something. So that's not loving your husband by causing more work or disrespectful, just kind of randomly spending it.
And we talked about the reason we work for mammon is God. I did an audio. God teaches us to work. We're created for work. So you can listen to that audio. We'll put that up. Maybe we'll put it at the top of the page today. And then also, you save up money to run your household. So you need your money to run your household. Then you save extra money for your ministry so that you're not a burden to others. And then you have extra in case someone else that's worthy in the cause of Christ needs help as well. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why you should be a good steward. But if you waste, one of the brothers said, some guy said he was wasting hundreds of dollars on just fancy coffees.
Yeah.
You waste all your money. Why is God going to give you anything more to look after when you've wasted it on your flesh and frivolousness?
Yeah, right.
So it's a good thing to remember.
It is, yeah.
What's next, Sister Amin?
Well, I have a scripture verse, but before that, I'm going to kind of like make a little confession. I heard something on the brothers' talk tonight that I was at fault of years ago in the beginning.
What's that?
One of them said, when it came to the subject of making audios, about not liking their voice.
Yeah.
And I used to say,
I said, pride alert, boop, 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 pride alert.
Yeah, guess what, sisters? Brother Two Posts ain't no easier on me than anybody else. In fact, he might be harder on me than anybody else. Because when I said that, I'll just say that I didn't want to say it again by the time I was done.
Yeah.
That was the wrong thing to say. And so, and then I guess you think about it. If you don't like the sound of your voice, God gave it to you.
Yep.
There's a reason why you have that voice that you do, unless you have an illness or something.
Yep.
But we ought to just be careful and be thankful we have a voice that we can speak the gospel.
Yeah.
And who cares what it sounds like? I guess I would think if you examine it, sisters, if you have an issue with hearing your voice and you don't really like your voice like I used to not until I understood I shouldn't do that, you probably have pride, or maybe you're competitive, or maybe you're lusting after something you ought not to have. Maybe you want a softer voice like somebody
Maybe you're covetous for a better voice.
Or whatever that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just not thankful and content. You're going to have to pick.
Hey, Moses and Paul didn't speak well. They did pretty good.
Well, yeah, I know. So there's a whole lot around that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't get hung up on that for too long.
So I always teach the younger brothers and sisters to make audios. Why? Teaches you to be a good communicator.
Because
then you can go listen to your audio, especially for the men. I tell them they can speak up louder because some of the men will speak in audios and they kind of speak like this and they kind of talk like this. And I say, well, you don't have to have a loud voice, but speak up the way you can speak up. And then they see the difference between not speaking with any authority versus speaking with some authority, and they see the difference.
Right.
And they know that God deserves that, bringing that out and speaking with authority, speaking, being assertive, speaking clear, and audios help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can make them, you can listen to them, they edify others, and you can get better at doing it. I laugh. Okay. Everybody, all my enemies tell me, you're so prideful, you're this, you're that. I have audios up that I did from when I first started my ministry. They are still up. You can go listen to my first page of audios, and they're hilarious in the sense of, hello, this is Jim from nopews@blogspot.com, and I'm trying to talk a little bit different on the audio, and I was maybe trying to do really good like this. I didn't delete them all because I have pride. I'm like, you know what? That's who I was back then. I was trying to maybe speak a little a certain way. Now, now I pretty much am who I am, and I allow God to just use me, and I'm not worried about all that. So it's good to see your progression.
I'm glad you said that, because one time I was digging around looking for an audio I thought I made, and I was listening to a few, and I was like, okay, a little bit different than I am now, which doesn't, you know, it's like,
yeah,
we may keep changing as we go, but as long as the words that we say are biblical and true.
Yeah, I think when I was first a Christian, I was in the business world, and I think I had the mindset of speaking professional. When you get up in front of a room and your coworkers are there, you need to speak a certain way different, and it's like, what? And I got past that, and I'm like, I'm going to speak just the way God wants me to speak. I'm going to speak from the heart. I'm going to be genuine, and I'm going to speak like just who I am. And I think I found my comfort level now, and I speak for who I am. So it's kind of funny to go back and listen to my old audios where I think I was still who I was, but I wasn't, I guess maybe I wasn't doing as much from the heart, and I was maybe trying harder than I should have rather than just being myself.
Yeah, we end up with a lot of residue from the world, yep. You know, way back in the early beginning parts of your walk. And so, yeah, like you said, it's awesome to be able to look back and see the progression and how the Lord changes us. And
in my case, I never had any godly men around me to listen to my first audios and go, can I help you with something?
Yeah.
Don't do this, don't do that. I had to learn. For years, I didn't have no godly men with me. I had to learn and get it right with just me, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, which is great to have the Word and the Holy Spirit. But I was too stubborn to maybe learn too quick, I guess. And so it took longer to learn. And learn
context of what you were saying and everything you said.
Oh, yeah. It was all truthful.
Biblical, yeah.
Yeah, what I said was truthful and biblical. It's just how I said it, maybe. I said it in a different way, or I wasn't speaking just being myself is the best way I could say it.
Yeah.
I think I was trying to speak more in a professional type, like people will like it better if I speak more like this, and maybe I'll be a better orator if I do this. And I'm like, no, I don't need to do that anymore. Now I just be, street preaching helped me a lot. I didn't start out street preaching for the first year or so. I wasn't out doing any street preaching the first year we were doing witnessing, but
later
I got involved in street preaching, and that really helped me to flow.
Yeah, you just let the Spirit go, and it does it if you've got it.
So, go listen to some of my early audios if you want to hear who I used to be. But again, I will say, the first year we were teaching, we had our doctrine down, and I didn't have to erase any audios because it's all truth.
Right,
so praise God for that.
I can say that.
It's just my delivery's a little different now.
Yeah, and maybe some of the things that I've talked about, maybe I have more of a depth now after having experience and going through it.
That's what it was. You know, that's what I'll say. Back then, I was a novice.
Well, we didn't have anybody to help
and
guide us.
And when you're a novice, you have no experience. You just have to go and do things and make a lot of mistakes to get experience.
Yeah, and if you don't have somebody to, like, when I say measure yourself against, you know, for like us sisters, I'm not saying compare. I'm just saying maybe follow an example, see somebody who's in front of us or live. You know, we got the scriptures, but it is really helpful to have somebody that's walking right before us in this world and how to do things.
And I always have to remind, in my case, my young brothers, they get corrected a lot because they're young brothers and they're learning. And that can be overwhelming. Oh, I got corrected again. And I always tell them, you should be praising God. Because how would you like to make that mistake for 2 years and nobody ever tell you? Meaning your delivery is wrong, or you're not doing what you should be doing, or you should be doing more of what you're doing. How would you like to have no instruction for years? And they're like, oh, no, the instruction's good. I'm like, yeah, I should be thankful for that. Because I know I didn't have anybody helping me.
Oh, I know. I remember when we left the church, we were only in there for a little while after being born again.
Yeah.
And when I started seeing some of the things for godly women, I was digging around trying to find them. I was so mad at those people. I didn't realize
nobody helped us.
They weren't born again.
Yeah.
I was so mad at him. I was like, I grieved the Holy Father walking around looking like I did or doing what I was doing, and nobody told me.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
So, it's a good thing. You make audios, good to teach your communication skills, and then you can see your growth and just make sure you're biblical.
Right, and who cares what your voice sounds like? God gave it to you.
Amen.
And if you make a mistake, like, what did I just say the other day? Mark 26.
Yeah.
I said it twice before I was
you had it written down wrong.
Yeah, and then you had to correct me. We didn't throw the audio away.
No.
And even, I'll just say this, even though I do my audio Bible readings for women, and I put them up and stuff, I trip over my words sometimes, and I just keep going.
It's people get carried away with audios, too. We had one man one time that was United to us for a short time, and he was worried in his audios about... He didn't want to ever hear, like, any lip smack, or he didn't want to hear any background. He went and spent big money on microphones and all this stuff, and he wasn't even really striving for the kingdom of God the way he should have been, but he was worried about the audio sound and technique being perfect. That's another whole distraction.
Yeah, right, it is.
Like, people with their websites are more worried about how it looks than the content.
I'd rather have a website that was...
Black and white.
Yeah, just whatever it was with misspellings and stuff. As long as you know what the content is, if it's biblical, it'll get the point across.
Yeah, amen. Another thing we talked about today was we talked about the focus of street ministry.
Yeah.
And two main focuses was basically glorify God every time you go out, even if nobody listens, and preach the gospel. Stay focused on the gospel, not focused on man-made religion or the world or all the errors. We bring those things up, but we got to get back. And if people will listen, if you got them for 10 minutes, you got to make sure you preach the whole gospel to them, because that's what they need. They don't need 10 minutes of hearing how bad Christmas is. They need 10 minutes about this is the gospel to salvation. You don't have it because you're a Baptist, a Mormon, a Catholic. You need this. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get it, you're going to lose your soul. That's right. What they need to hear.
Yeah.
So gospel-centered in the streets is very, very important.
Right, it is. It's the focus.
Yeah.
Well, you just read that about it being foolish to those who are perishing.
Yep, absolutely.
But it's the power of God.
Anything else, Sister Amon? I think you said you have a scripture verse.
I do. I have a scripture verse. Well, I'm going to read Matthew 21, 23 through 27. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I love this. This is awesome. I also will ask you one thing. Which if ye tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not believe that? Why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things.
Yeah.
I love that there's a whole lot in there, but I don't know. I was just thinking about that, how people are always trying to trip us up. But yet, with the power, like you just read, the power of the gospel is of God, you can, not to be mean or anything, but trip them up in their own words to maybe get them to see their sin and their fall.
It happened with the Baptist guy today. He said, Jesus invented the Baptist church. I said, did he invent the false pagan Christmas and Easter too? And he laughed.
And then
he told me, I chew my tobacco too fine. He laughed about the truth of God because he had no answer.
Yeah. That's pretty wicked.
Good scripture verse.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I have is when we had our audio call or our video call with the brothers and sisters today, one of the brothers brought up a topic from before, calling Jesus your brother. And this came up and we had to go into a big discussion about it and we got it all right. We're all unified on it. I'm going to have a teaching coming up. There's a false evangelical mindset that Jesus is our brother. And I'm going to show you in Scripture that it's not what Scripture teaches. We are Jesus' brethren, but Jesus is not our brother. And I'm not going to go into it right here, but the teaching will cover all that. But I wanted to finish off our audio today with this verse, because I think it's really good. Matthew 12, 48 through 50. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So separate from the issue of Jesus not being our brother, I love that. We do the will of the Father. That's who is united to Christ.
Amen.
That's what he was trying to say. That's going to be his family. That's going to be his brethren. Those are his people. The ones that do the will of the Father. You're not doing the will of the Father if you live like the world. You're not doing the will of the Father when you live in false man-made religion. Nope. You're not doing the will of the Father when you don't have the biblical gospel. You're not living holy. Do the will of the Father, and then you truly are the brethren of Christ, and you can have the hope of eternal life to come.
If you endure
to the end. Amen.
It's conditional.
Anything else, Sister Amin? Yeah, it is. All of God's commandments are conditional. All of his covenants are conditional.
And we're going to keep repeating that, so maybe some people will finally understand it. You know, they might be listening if you think you don't have to. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Faith without works is dead, I told that young woman today.
Yep. He's a conditional God, and he loves, but his love has conditions. And so we got to make sure that we walk in those for his glory.
Amen.
Yeah.
We love you all.
All right. Love you all. Thanks for listening in. We're going to have interesting things up at the top of the edification post. Check them out. That teaching of mine will be up there. And then tomorrow, we got a whole bunch of stuff to do. In this town, and then we have to get ready because our brother and sister are coming down, and we're going to be heading off in about 2 weeks. We'll be headed south, Lord willing, on our winter mission trip, preaching all over the gospel all over down south in the warmer weather where there's a whole bunch of events and a lot of people outside.
More preaching going on.
Yep, and I'm excited to have this brother and sister with us, so it's going to be awesome.
Amen. Praise God.
All right, we love you all. Till next time, go forth. Shine the light of Christ. We talked about it today. Who lights a candle, Sister Amin, and puts it under a basket?
Not me.
Who turns their light on and then throws a bag or a towel over it?
Not anybody out
there. Yeah, and so God gives us light. He said, you are the light of the world. We need to go forth and shine our lights.
Amen.
Amen. For his glory. We love you all. Till next time.
May God be praised.